Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. Back in August of 2014, we spoke to Evan Falchuk, an attorney and former health and industry executive who was running for governor of Massachusetts. He told us why he was running under the banner of a new political party, the United Independent Party, or UIP, which billed itself as modern, progressive, and fiscally sane.
It is about challenging the establishment. The Republican Party is down to about 11% of registered voters, but the Democratic Party is at 35% of registered voters. So a majority of voters have chosen not to be associated with either of the two parties. We need to build that new framework.
Now, Falchuk won just over 3% of the vote. That was enough to give the UIP official party status in Commonwealth. It no longer has that today, and Evan Falchuk is now a Democrat. He's given up his push to establish a third party in favor of uniting with Democrats to oppose the agenda of President Donald Trump. And Evan Falchuk joins us now. Welcome back to Radio Boston. It's good to have you.
Glad to be here.
And listeners, we want to invite you in on this conversation. In a few minutes, we're going to be talking to Ralph Nader about the state of third parties in the age of Trump. And we want to hear from you. Is now the time to pick sides and abandon third parties? Or do you believe third parties can still be a powerful force in changing our political system? Give us a call, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. So, Evan Falchuk, it's really great to see you again. Why abandon the UIP?
Well, politics has changed. And we've come from a place where it used to be this kind of left-right debate, and now it's about people that have and people that don't have. Trump figured that out, and he won. And he's hell-bent on an agenda that's going to make things worse. And so we have to have a political organization in this country that will fight for working people and for fairness and equality. The Democrats are the only organization strong enough to actually stand up to the threat of Trump and at the same time to articulate a vision that is better than what we have today.
So does that mean the idea that third parties have a role in advocating for the kinds of changes that, you know, you were talking about back in 2014 no longer have a role in America? What do you think?
Well, the bigger issue here is we've got to get people involved politically. Today, there's lower than ever rates of voter participation. People don't run for office. People don't involve themselves in their communities. And it has to change. Part of why I got involved in the first place was to do something about that and to create a vehicle for new people to get involved. So to the extent there's people out there organizing for third parties, it's a good thing that they're doing something civically engaged. But what is really important right now in the age of Trump is to make sure we've got an effective, not just resistance to what's happening, but to make sure we are articulating an alternative vision of the future.
So why the Democratic Party? And I ask that because you know, one of the things you could argue that Trump capitalized on was a Democratic Party that was out of touch with lots of white working class people in big swaths of this country.
Bernie Sanders also did that.
Yeah.
And they're both right. The difference is that Trump is a lot of talk. There isn't there when it comes to this, other than a lot of really strange stuff that's undermining our democratic process, all this weird connections with Russia.
Yeah.
So the question is, what do we do? I believe Democrats need to articulate a new vision, a new deal for the 21st century. I think they're capable of it, but they've got to take a hard look in the mirror and realize that they need to change. So I picked the Democrats because I think that's the right platform for it. The Republicans seem to have turned into a nationalist party that's not especially interested in working people. We've got to make sure that we have a party that will stand up for those things.
Did you consider, I mean, insofar as you are a local guy from Massachusetts, a Charlie Baker-style Republican party? That is someone, you know, sort of easy, laid back on social issues, but sort of fiscally sane, he might say?
Yeah, those
as
are...
As you used to say.
Yeah, those are good things. Yeah. But I think this is not a time for easygoing and laid back. We've got a real threat to our democratic process happening right now, a crisis of serious scale, and we've got to take sides. And that's why I chose to pick this side.
Right. So what happens, just to come back to the United Independent Party, what happens to that party now?
Well, we had to get 46,000 people enrolled by November of last year. We got over 30,000. So we did a lot. We got some people elected to local office, but it switched to become a political designation after the election, which is almost the same thing as being unenrolled. And, you know, what I say to people that are in the party now is think about how to take this fight on. how to continue it. And I choose the Democratic Party as the way to do it, and I encourage people to do the same.
Is there a part of you that, I don't know, just feels a little sad that the idea of a viable third party in Massachusetts or maybe nationally just didn't seem to work out the way you wanted it to
be? Yeah, of course. Yeah. You know, we see large numbers of people that say they want a third party, but when it comes down to what it takes to actually make it happen, we don't see a real market for it. So, you know, the question is, you know, if we had decades to do this and we weren't facing a crisis like what Trump represents, then it's a luxury we should pursue. But right now, we've got to take these energies and put them towards this important cause.
Listeners, we're talking to Evan Falchuk. He was the founder of the United Independent Party, which he's announced he's leaving to join the Democrats. What do you think about the viability of third parties going forward? You can give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. We'd love to have you in the conversation, and we're happy to answer your questions. And let me introduce Ralph Nader. He's a lawyer, of course, author, longtime consumer advocate, and a third-party presidential candidate, most recently with the Green Party. He's also the author of his most recent book, Breaking Through Power, It's Easier Than We Think. Ralph Nader, welcome back to Radio Boston. Always good to talk to you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Brooks.
So I'd love it if you could respond to Evan Falchuk in any way you want, but he's talking about no market for a third party. You know, most recently, I mean, actually going back quite a ways, you've been a real advocate of third party power. Is Evan wrong? Is he right? What do you think?
Well, I think he makes a good point that the polls show that about 65% of the American people would like to see a, quote, viable third party, end quote. But then when they go to the polls, they want to be with the winner, and they have been educated over the past to know that there's only going to be one of two winners, Republican and Democrat. The system is a duopoly. It's a rigged system. The barriers to getting on the ballot are very, very high in many states. And so the public expectation level is that, well, it's okay to have third parties. They do provide new ideas, new agendas, maybe new energy. But we know who's going to win. It's either going to be Republican or Democrat. And increasingly, with gerrymandered districts, they know who's going to win, period, not either or. In Massachusetts, a majority of the state legislative incumbents don't even have an opposing party opponent on the ballot, like
right.
I checked. The same is true in Texas.
But isn't that an argument not to waste time sort of worrying about or trying to launch a third party?
No, because they in American history, they provide different functions. In the 19th century, the Liberty Party started with the anti-slavery program in 1840. It got 40,000 votes. It never won an election, but it helped the abolition movement. And then the women's suffrage parties, the labor, farmer, populist party, decades later, they never won a presidential election. Some of them elected senators and governors, especially the populist parties, progressive parties, but they changed the agenda. They were first with labor rights. They were first with government regulation of the big railroads and the banks squeezing the livelihood of the farmers. They were first with progressive taxation. They were first with the 40-hour week. They were first with organizing for labor unions, first to propose what turned out to be a limited Medicare, first to propose regulation of the security markets, first to propose a whole slew of changes in our country that one or two of the major parties decades later finally picked up on. So they have an independent. They're not allowed to win at the national level, but they have an independent.
So they're not allowed to win, but
very useful.
Right, but they have a useful role. What do you think about that, Evan? And do you want to respond to what Rob
Well,
Nader
I mean,
about?
It's a fair point. I think when we're facing a crisis like we are right now in our country, we don't have the luxury to say, you know, over the course of a few decades, if we organize in this way, we might have an influence on some aspect of policy. We've got issues of separation of powers. We've got issues of equal rights. We've got issues of voting, whether people are going to be allowed to vote, our national security. And we need an organization that's strong enough to stand up to the excesses of Trump and to also deal with these deep-seated, important, underlying economic issues our country faces that working families face. Third parties aren't strong enough to do that. They're just not. And I think Mr. Nader certainly would concede that. So the question is, what do we do? And that's why I've chosen, we've got to get the Democratic Party to change. And that happens from within. Bernie Sanders is doing that. But we need people from all across the political spectrum to say, we're going to stand up for American values, and we're going to fight for working families and make sure we've got an economy and a country that's fair and meets our aspirations.
Ralph Nader, can the Democratic Party change from within? I mean, if people like Evan Falchuk, who sort of were on the outside, come back in and say, all right, we're going to get serious about this and change it in meaningful ways. Does that give you confidence?
Point is, look, we really have a crisis here. Let's be real. So we only have two parties, and we got to focus on the Democratic Party. My answer to that is the following, and it echoes Bill Curry's pithy comment that the Democrats...
Bill Curry, Ralph Nader, we should tell our listeners who Bill Curry is. He's a former comptroller of the state of Connecticut. He ran unsuccessfully for governor a couple of times, and I know he's a friend of yours. He's also someone that I've known for a while.
He made a very pithy statement. He said the Democrats had a very efficient transition from Nancy Pelosi to Nancy Pelosi. Four-time loser, 2010, 12, 14, 16, losing to the worst Republican Party in history, instead of landsliding the worst Republican Party in history. So what am I saying? I'm saying that the lure of money, with both parties dialing for the same commercial dollars, both parties willing to gerrymander and deprive the voters of even two viable choices, they are becoming more and more alike. The only way to change the Democratic Party is to throw out the old guard and put new energy and new people from the local to the state to the national.
Agreed.
You are not going to change the old guard Democratic Party. You're not. Believe me, I've been watching this for years. There is no penalty in the Democratic Party for losing.
You agree with that?
Well, I do, and I would invite Ralph Nader to join us in this, because we do need to change that old guard leadership. When I joined, I've made it very clear that the Democrats are getting me. Meaning that I'm going to speak my mind. The things that I believed in when I was organizing UIP is something that will continue as a Democrat. And we need all the help we can get. It is a crisis that we're facing, and we need all that help.
Evan, Ralph Nader, let me invite some callers into this conversation. We've got a lot of them who've got some questions and some comments. Let's go to David, who's calling from Acton. Hi, David, you're on the air. Good to have you.
I'm glad to be here.
Tell me what's on your mind.
Yeah, so I think we need third parties, but the easiest way to achieve it is simply change the voting system to a single transferable voting system like they have in Europe in many places. What you do is you vote 1, 2, 3 in order of your preference, but your vote gets transferred if your person gets eliminated. That way, if somebody wants to vote for Ralph Nader, they can do that, but then if he gets the lowest votes, those votes are transferred back to whoever you chose second. That's what would make third parties viable. It's a very simple system, and it would really revolutionize American democracy.
And that's exactly why the Democrats are opposing single, exactly what you're talking about.
Ranked choice voting, essentially, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's in San Francisco. It's in some cities. But that raises a fundamental issue. As you start rebuilding the Democratic Party at the local level, you start flooding the town meetings of members of Congress and the Democratic Party. I mean, people are now showing up. Showing up's half of democracy. It scares the heck out of these politicians who are used to empty seats for their town meetings that aren't filled by anyone other than their staff and their cronies, and they control it. And when you have 1,000 people showing up to Congressman Jason Chaffetz, Republican in Utah, with 200 outside, can't get in, opposing his proposal to sell off some of the public lands, that's beginning to happen for the Democrats as well. So there's a lot of heat that can build up, so you don't have to wait until the next election.
Yep.
And indeed, if you do wait until the next election and not build up the heat between elections on substantive issues, you're not going to have much success.
Mm. Let's go to David, who's calling from the South End in Boston. David, what's on your mind? Good to have you.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me. And Mr. Nader, I voted for you back in 2000. I just was going to comment on the fact that, you know, it's Coke versus Pepsi. There's two large corporations battling it out, suppressing the RC Colas and the small players. And I'm just looking at the national level. So to me, it's two big businesses that are holding down smaller businesses from being able to express themselves and rise up. And that last caller made a great point, and to keep the Davids, it's the Davids versus the Goliaths, really. And you know, the Republicans and Democrats just are going to do their best to stop a third party.
But David, I mean, I'd love to know where you come down. I mean, Evan Falchuk's point is, you know, it's one or the other. And in the age of Donald Trump, are you really prepared to just sort of say these are two parties that are like Coke and Pepsi?
Yeah, it's a good question. I honestly don't know. It's a pretty big risk at the present time, I think, to go out on a limb and vote for Ms. Stein, not that she maybe was the best candidate at the time for a third party. Had there been a better option in that sphere, I probably would have gone there.
This is why self-government is very hard, is that we have to make these choices. We have to. And so when we're faced with choices we don't like, we can either bail out and not participate, which is a big problem, or we can, and I believe this is terms that Ralph Nader's used, we got to give a damn. We got to get involved. We got to be part of the solution, not part of the problem.
Right. But are you suggesting that voting third party is sort of bailing out?
It can be.
Yeah.
There were situations in this last election in 2016 where both Gary Johnson and Jill Stein had an impact on where the race went, and they did it for their own reasons. I'm not really sure what they were, but we have a problem on our hands today. Let's look forward.
Well, Ralph,
there's a new variable though coming up in 2020. A lot of enlightened billionaires are looking at Donald Trump and saying, "Well, if he could make it to the White House, given his drawbacks, why can't we?" And a third party driven by a billionaire can turn the race into a three-way contest. I mean, Perot almost did that even after he dropped out and came back in 1992. He got 19 million votes, but he didn't get one electoral college vote. So we do have a variety of opposition. The most immediate thing is just to turn out, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Turn out to these town meetings. If they're not there, you schedule your own town meeting and you summon your senators and representatives to your own. In my new book, Breaking Through Power, It's Easier Than We Think, I've drafted a formal summons from the people to the two senators and representatives to come to town meetings arranged by the people with the agenda by the people, so they have to respond. And it's a lot easier than you think. There's so much apathy in this country that if a senator walks into an auditorium and sees it full, the first thing the senator says is, "Holy smoke, what's going on here?" And you can see it already occurring in the last few weeks on Obamacare, on the public lands, on other matters that people perceive as being taken from them. Something they have now is being taken from them. And that's the great provocative value of Donald Trump.
Well, I want to go back at Ralph Nader, if I could, because Evan Falchuk raised this point of Gary Johnson, Jill Stein having an impact on the election. Some might even say spoiler. I know you faced criticism of being a spoiler in 2000. What's the response to that? I mean, if political advocacy and getting involved and participating, which I completely understand and I admire you for, encouraging everybody to do that. Do third parties, though, sometimes cause more trouble than they're worth because of this spoiler
role? Under a system of incarceration of the American voter by the two pro-business indentured parties. I mean, the very idea that a spoiled political system being challenged by a clean, progressive third party is just a matter of using bigoted words. Call somebody a spoiler who's trying to clean up politics because that person dares to challenge this two-party duopoly is servile thinking. It's political servitude. We're better than that as a country.
Well, you know, one of the challenges is that change has to happen starting at the local level. And when we have people running at the presidential level, they can't win, and then those votes end up being having an impact in the overall election. And it makes people not want to participate. So, look, I think that Ralph's point about showing up to these meetings with your legislative leaders is hugely important. It's one thing that I know people in the Democratic Party have to get used to doing. The Trump people did it. Believe me, when I see people in Congress not acting to do something against the excesses of Trump, it's because they know they're going to go home and there's a meeting full of Trump supporters telling them to keep going.
Mm.
So as Democrats, as Americans, we've got to participate. We've got to be involved. And we got to hold our leaders accountable to our Constitution and our way of life.
Evan Falchuk, Ralph Nader, let's just take one more call because we've still got the lines full and I'd like to get at least one more in. Mike is calling from Santa Monica, California. Great that you're listening to Radio Boston out there in Santa Monica, Mike.
Yeah, thanks. I'm a former Green mayor, and I worked on Ralph's 96 and 2000 campaign. I just want to add that I think it's already a failed experiment to try and reform the Democrats. And in addition to choice voting for executive office like president or governor, we should have multi-seat districts with proportional representation for the legislature. It's ridiculous for the Sanders people to think they're going to go in and have a civil war with the DLC people in every district around the country. They should be in their own party. And in a proportional representation system, they would have it. Probably most of them would be in the Green Party.
All right. Well, Mike, thanks for that call. Well, Evan, let me sort of put Mike's point to you. I mean, I know we're talking about, he's talking about sort of a national view, but here you are in Massachusetts. Is it a lost cause to join the Democrats?
No, of course not.
Yeah.
It's something that we have to do if we care about what the future looks like. You know, all these ideas are great. I'm in favor of ranked choice voting and all that, but the people who would put it into place are the ones who benefit from the current system. So if you're a person who cares about seeing more people, new people, more dynamic democracy, you've got to be in one of the parties to make it happen. You just have to be, and you got to participate.
The
citizens have got to say to themselves, we want power.
Yep.
We have put enormous power in the hands of members of Congress and the presidency. Enormous delegated power, which is being used against us. We should take it personally. The point is, when you show up at these meetings, you get empowered. You show how thin the system is in Washington, how they're skating on ice as they collect dollars from Wall Street to Houston for their campaigns. But you see, if you don't do it from the bottom up like that and get more people to run for office, local, state, and national, and make it a real competitive democracy, what's going to happen is more and more the two parties will be alike. They're dialing for the same campaign dollars. They're pushing for the same gerrymandering. They're afraid of the same interest groups. And this will only get worse unless people take it in their own hands. So if you have a complaint about politics, folks, look in the mirror if you don't show up.
Okay. All right.
Amen. Well said.
Well said, Ralph Nader. Evan Falchuk, the last time I was sitting across this table from you, you were running for governor with the United Independent Party. You're a Democrat now. Are you going to run for governor?
I want to do all the things Ralph just said. I want to get people involved. I want to get people elected to office. We'll see where I fit into that picture.
All right. Evan Falchuk. He was founder of the United Independent Party. He's a Democrat now. And Ralph Nader, lawyer, author, consumer advocate, former presidential candidate. His latest book is Breaking Through Power. It's Easier Than We Think. Ralph Nader, Evan Falchuk, thank you both very much. Appreciate you coming in.
Thanks.
Thank you very much, Mr. Brooks.
Listeners, stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.